Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Today we rejoice on All Saints' Day and give God humble thanks today for all those who have gone before us to show us the way of living out the faith in their time and place. We have the great calling of sanctity that God is calling each one of us to be a saint. And that means a saint with a capital S. We are to follow Christ in all our living, and in following him receive blessings from on high to be sanctified and to bring light and love into this world. So it is a remarkable thing that we as Christians are very positive about the idea of sanctity. We really believe that a person can change, that they can begin to exhibit in their own speech and in their own actions Christ himself who indwells them. And, you know, we're not a congregation of people who are looking to a distant time as a golden age of saints. Like, you know, long ago it was possible to be a saint. Like if you lived in the 4th century, right? And you were among the great saints of the 4th century, the fathers of the church, for example, you know, the martyrs. No, we believe that a person could be a saint in this day, that now is the time. And we might think, well, there's a certain place where people were saints, you know, like they could really be a saint in a particular place. No, we believe that right here is the place where you can be a saint. And so now is the time and here is the place for the saints of God to really rise up and follow Christ. And so today we give God thanks for all those who have gone before us to blaze the trail, Jesus Christ himself first, and those who followed his footsteps. And we pray for grace that we will do the same in our own generation. The gospel lesson appointed for today is from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's the Beatitudes. Here is the way that we may be blessed. Here is the way of happiness. And if you looked at this list of that Jesus proclaims at the beginning of his sermon, you would see how contrary this is to the ways of the world, right? Blessed are the poor? Are you kidding me? How does that work? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Somehow this seems upside down. But really, if we look into it with the eyes of faith, we'll see that it's right side up. And this is how we truly may be blessed. So look how Jesus fulfills these Beatitudes, for he is the one that we follow. If you look at the one who is poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, shows a great poverty. We see it exemplified even in the fact that he carries no handbag or purse or backpack. He has no possessions. He is simply waiting for the provision of God in his own ministry. So he shows that God is the source of all our blessing. And if we follow Jesus, we will experience that same kind of miracle of provision. Water becomes wine. The multiplication of loaves and fishes, even tax money in the mouth of a fish. We see the Lord Jesus show us the way of trusting in God for provision. It is antithetical to the worldly way of self-sufficiency, where we're looking to ourselves or man's strength to solve all the problems. Instead, here we wait upon God. Now, we're on the cusp of a national election. A lot of people are hoping that there is some kind of system or, you know, collection of the right people to make things happen for the good. We're trusting in God that he will bring things for the good. And so that is a very different way of existing, of being, of living, when we wait upon God and trust in his goodness. Jesus shows us the way. The saints exemplified in their lives. We are to exemplify it in our lives. Blessed are they who mourn. We see here that, you know, In terms of a godly sorrow, we see the saints show us the way. They have, you know, like Jesus weeping over Jerusalem for missing out in its time of visitation. The saints weep for the sins of their own heart and of the world. And that is a godly sorrow and a mourning that brings the blessing of God and forgiveness and his outpouring of grace into the world. We see that that kind of sadness for sins brings God near. For a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. We see in the same way all these beatitudes fulfilled. So, blessed are the meek. Jesus is not one to revile for those who say nasty things about him. He doesn't punch back with a nasty thing. We see that he has the calmness of a mountain. Right? There is that steadfast presence, but not one that is, railing against those who rail against him. He could call upon legions of angels, and yet he allows the wicked to do with him what they will for the sake of our salvation. And we see the same kind of meekness in the saints that don't seek vengeance in their lives. They trust that God will be the arbiter or the bringer of justice. And so they allow him to work it out, and they are pursuing the Lord's command that they forgive those who have offended them. Upside down in the ways of the world, but right side up in terms of the kingdom and how to achieve true blessedness. For when a person forgives others, he truly sets himself free. We see that the Lord Jesus is himself righteousness, and the saints are those who hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And so that is to be ours. This is to be our aim and objective. Jesus, when the disciples brought him food, said, My food is to do the will of God. That comes first. Man does not live by bread alone. And so we're not pursuing the things that the Gentiles seek. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to, all the anxiety of trying to, become safe and secure. No, even in a pandemic, we're going to trust. And though we might be prudent and lay aside some things so we don't have to go to the store if there's a run on toilet paper, that's prudence. But we're not going to freak out about it. We're going to allow God to be our source and stay. And our true aim is not going to be to pile things up, but instead to seek the righteousness of Christ. For that is what the saints do. They wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and make them white. They purify themselves. And as we heard in last week's meditation from Darius, it is the one who, that comes to the wedding feast and will not put on the wedding garment that is, escorted out of the party. But right now, we are to put the wedding garment of righteousness on and seek after righteousness. We see that those who are merciful obtain mercy. Christ himself, who embodies the mercy of God, and the saints we see through history are merciful. The astounding mercy of St. Francis, who embraces the leper. The astounding mercy and kindness of St. Martin of Tours at the gate of Amiens, where he clothes the beggar with half his cloak. We see the mercy of the saints through history that turned the tide of history. Because when people really get a glimpse of heaven is when they see the mercy of God, and especially when you show them mercy. That's why King Alfred the Great is called the Great. He has Guthrum at his spear point. He could take his life, but instead he pulls away the spear and lifts up Guthrum to be his godson in baptism. The only one of the English kings who is called the Great. This will show people heaven, is when you show them mercy. And that's what the saints do. We see that the saints, as Jesus is, are pure in heart. They are seeking to be unspotted from the world. They are seeking to purify themselves. They understand that virginity is something we become. A great quote from Alexander Schmemann, one that is so profound if you think about it. Virginity is something we become. We are becoming pure. We didn't start out pure. We're becoming pure. Through the habitual grace of the prayers we offer and the grace we receive in the sacraments, we seek the pureness of heart as the saints have sought it. The saints are the ones who, like Christ, are peacemakers. Christ himself, our great champion, the one who reconciles God to man and man to God. And now, following him, we bring peace into our own heart, into our own families, into our own communities. The saints bring peace. We see that in doing all these things, as the saints allow Jesus to live in them, that they are persecuted in the world. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hate you. This is the logical consequence of Christ indwelling a person. That just as the world hated him, it will hate them. This is the logical sequence of things. So we shouldn't be surprised that Christians are persecuted. Our Christian faith has been a persecuted faith from the beginning, from the time of Saint Stephen, first martyr, all the way to the present time, when Christians even now are being hunted and killed. And it doesn't surprise us. Jesus tells us it will come, and he shows us the inversion again. What we would think is something that should never be, and obviously it is a great offense, but still we understand that in the kingdom work that is happening in the world, that this is going to happen. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the sight of the unwise, the saints appear to die, but their souls are held in the hand of God, and they are now comforted and blessed in paradise. The wicked are the ones who have brought themselves into great trial and into great trouble through their wickedness. But the saints are still alive because their life is inalienable. It cannot be taken from them because God gave it to them. And if God gives us our life, no tyrant can take it away. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so let us hear these Beatitudes. Let us see how they are fulfilled in Christ. And on this holy day of all saints, let us pursue sanctity as the great and high calling, that we may run our race that is set before us, that together with them we may receive the crown of everlasting glory that never fadeth away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.